Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Straight to that Fireball VIP line. Talking to my dear friend Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic, writing the Football Nerd's Guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos, of course, covering the NFL for The Athletic. Sheil, good evening. It's Nick and Cecil. What's up, brother? How's it going, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about this nerdy guide for the Denver Broncos and Pat Shurmur. You've covered the Eagles for a long, long time. You cover the NFL now for the Athletic, Sheil, and you know Pat Shurmur from when he was in the NFC East. So what's this offense going to look like? And especially when you dial in that 11 personnel that you point out in your article, Football Nerd's Guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos, looks like 11 personnel, those three wide receiver sets, are going to be his preferred formation.
Yeah, he's got a pretty unique background. You know, he came up under Andy Reid with the Eagles, had various stops, went to Minnesota, but then he was coaching under Chip Kelly, too. So there are kind of a lot of different concepts he's been exposed to there, whether it's the West Coast offense or more of the college stuff, the hybrid, the spread type stuff. But, yeah, if you just look at him in his previous stops, you know, he was a heavy 11 personnel guy with, you know, I think last year with the Giants, they ran it over 70% of the time in 11 personnel. And so obviously that's a big bump for the Broncos compared to what they had last year. And it obviously makes sense with the guys they drafted that they're going to be moving to a lot of three wide receiver sets. So I think that's among the big changes you're going to see with Shurmur as the OC.
Last season, Rich Gangarolo in his offense, it kind of got out of the gate slow. And Coach Fangio has, you know, been on record saying, we want to be more explosive from an offensive standpoint. Knowing as though Rich kind of implement, you know, more of a check down, quick, you know, throw out to the flat type of scheme because Drew Locke was a rookie and he was taking over at that time. What can we expect from this offense knowing that Pat Shurmur is more of a veteran play caller than Rich Gangarolo was last season?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, Shurmur's really had to sort of adapt to his personnel. Obviously, he had great success the one season with Case Keenum in Minnesota, and that got him the Giants job. And so his results have sort of been all over the map. But when you talk about throwing the football, that's something he's definitely, I think, going to do more than Rich Gangarolo did last season. I mean, if you just kind of look at the numbers, he's a much more pass-heavy play caller. Again, coming up under Andy Reid, who's the most pass-heavy play caller in the entire NFL. You know, Shurmur's not going to go to that extent, but I do think you're going to certainly see him air it out a little bit more. I think you're going to see them pass the football on early downs more when you have the opponent in their base defense, or maybe when they're not sure what you're going to do. You know, you want to be a little bit more unpredictable in that sense, and I certainly think he's going to throw the football more than Scangarello did.
Sheil Kapadia, our guest here on the Fireball VIP line from The Athletic, and going over a Football Nerd's Guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos. Don't sleep on KJ Hamler. Like, we all talk about Cortland Sutton, we get excited about Jerry Jeudy. Why should people not sleep on the rookie from Penn State?
Yeah, you know, I loved his film coming out, doing all the work on watching all the wide receivers before the draft, and I wasn't quite sure what to expect. You know, you hear he has size limitations, and, you know, is he somebody you really have to scheme up? I didn't think so. You know, I watched him. I got excited. I thought this guy can really give you what you want from a slot receiver in the NFL in 2020. I thought he had the short area quickness to get open on, you know, those third and sixth plays where you just need to, maybe you're running kind of one of those choice routes and have to read the DB's leverage. He can do that, and then he can really stretch the field vertically. We all know he's got that kind of speed. So I thought he was a really good route runner. And, you know, some of these guys, when you watch him before the draft, you just kind of fall in love with sort of their personality on the field. And he was one of those guys. You know, he's someone where if another wide receiver is running down the field on a deep play, like, he's the guy who's sprinting to the end zone to be the first guy to congratulate that guy. He just played with a lot of juice and a lot of energy. And so, you know, I love Jeudy. I love Hamler. I've been on the Sutton bandwagon. So this is just such a talented young group of wide receivers. I'm really a big fan of all three of these guys. You know, the young guys are going to face challenges, obviously, with this unique offseason, contributing right away, perhaps. But, man, if you're looking at 2021 and beyond, I don't know that there's a better group of sort of three wide receivers out there that you would want to have your quarterback to assist him.
Now, Cecil and I have gone back and forth on this topic and how the tight ends are going to be used, and I'm in favor of Albert Okwuegbunam having more touchdowns than maybe, say, Noah Fant may have more targets and more yards. When you look at it from the nerd's guy, how do you see this thing shaping out between these two talented, you know, tight ends, knowing as though one and Albert Okwuegbunam has familiarity with one Drew Lock?
You know, I think it's going to be tough for a number two tight end unless Noah Fant, suffers an injury. Just because if you look at it, and let's say, and this is all obviously theoretical, we don't know what they're going to do, but if we go off the premise that they're going to be heavy with 11 personnel and be playing that on 70% of the snaps, well, it's sort of limited there for a number two tight end. I mean, you certainly can still get on the field 30% of the snaps. You can still rotate in with the starter. But, man, I look at what Noah Fant did last year, and you know, I thought he was very good, and he was coming on very strong there, and he's sort of on the list as I'm doing these guys for all the teams. If I were coming up with, you know, 10, 15 guys who could be potential breakout guys this year, I think I would have him on that list. I really liked what he did. So you know, you certainly could be right. You know, maybe they have more of a rotation. Maybe I'm going to be wrong, and it is going to be a little bit more two tight end set. But what I saw from Fant last year, I really feel like that's a guy you're going to be hard pressed to take off the field, specifically in passing situations, whether it's third down, 2-minute drill, you're trailing, all those different scenarios.
NFL reporter and analyst from The Athletic, Shiel Kapadia, joining us now. You follow him on Twitter, at Shiel Kapadia. And Shiel, my final question for you, appreciate your time as always, brother, has to do with one of your chunk sections in a Football Nerd's Guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos, Melvin Gordon versus Philip Lindsay. Gordon has gone out of his way this year to say how the Chargers never used him the right way. Honestly, I don't think they ever really did. Philip Lindsay does nothing but prove anybody wrong that doubts him. So how does this work out for the Broncos? An interesting move, having a two-time 1,000-yard rusher and then going out in free agency and getting Melvin Gordon. What's the nerd stuff? What's the advanced data that we eat up? What's that say about this battle?
Yeah, so there's a couple metrics. I was sort of with you. I was surprised by that move. I've always thought Philip Lindsay has been a really good player. And if you look at it on just sort of a per-rush basis, Philip Lindsay was just a superior player last year. I mean, he was very good, and Melvin Gordon was sort of middle of the pack. The area where you look at it, that Melvin Gordon had a little bit of an edge was with the consistency. So if you say, you know, who's more likely to kind of give me a positive result on every play, that was Gordon. But he didn't have Philip Lindsay's sort of big play ability where, you know, he was able to kind of break those big runs. He's more of a home run hitter. And so I looked at it, and really if you look at the Broncos running game last year, you know, I thought Royce Freeman was a guy who you certainly could have had an upgrade from with him. So I looked at it, you know, you could get Lindsay, keep him as your kind of primary back, and maybe you upgrade that number two spot. Well, they sort of went the other way and said, we're going to bring in Melvin Gordon, and maybe Philip Lindsay's going to be the complement. And I'm just unsure that that's going to lead to the result that they think it's going to lead to. I mean, we know Gordon's a talented guy. Maybe he'll kind of find the magic that he had a few years ago. But I think there's kind of just as a strong a chance that you take away carries from Philip Lindsay, you give those to Melvin Gordon, and all of a sudden maybe you're in the same place, maybe you're worse than you were a year ago. So that's going to be pretty fascinating to see how that plays out.
Everyone is high on Drew Lock coming into this season, especially with the weapons that the Broncos have, you know, put around him. But I was looking at your stats, and you broke it down, and I really, as a nerd, and Cecil would definitely tell you this, you know, I love how you did this, because you broke it down into, you know, passes versus man coverage and versus zone coverage. So what happens with the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to go on with Pat Shurmur's system, but if other teams defensively rolled in, they play man against, you know, this Drew Lock and this Pat Shurmur offense, opposed to playing zone that, like he saw a lot of last season?
Yeah, it's tough because it's such a small sample. You know, I think it was around 170 dropbacks he had last year. So I'm always hesitant to say he's good at this, he's not good at that. But you're right. When you look at the numbers, he certainly was much better against zone coverage last year than he was against man coverage. And this is a trend we're seeing kind of throughout the NFL. You're seeing a lot of teams try to go more man heavy. You know, the Patriots led the way. The Ravens are certainly doing it. If you're looking at the AFC, and then a lot of other teams you're seeing this offseason are saying, you know, we need to move to more man coverage, because you go up against the great quarterbacks, whether it's Patrick Mahomes and some of these other guys, and man, against zone, they're just going to find a way to sort of pick that apart and move down the field. So, you know, you look at sort of Locke's profile and watching him, I thought he was a really aggressive thrower. I don't think he's someone who is afraid to turn it loose and let his receivers make plays for him, and he certainly got talented receivers. So I think he can certainly execute against man coverage. But, yeah, you're right that, you know, I think that's something they're going to have to prove as sort of an offense, and he's going to have to prove this season.
Shield, don't you love that nerd's not a diss anymore? It's like when people call Nick and I are both nerds. We're like huge comic book nerds. We'll spend a segment, you know, at least once a week on Star Wars or something like that. Or, hey, it's the Zack Snyder cut for Justice League, everybody. Like, yeah, nerd, fine. I'm a football nerd. Great.
It's funny, you know, these sort of deep dives of scheme and analytics. There's a group like us who are like, oh, man, we could talk about this all day. And then I tell other people, if you're not into that and you have young kids, you know, read this article to them. It'll put them right to sleep. So, you know, you're either on one end or the other. I'm glad you guys are on my end, or you wouldn't have had me on, I guess. So that's a good thing.
Well, everyone check out The Athletic and check out 10 Things, a football nerd's guide to the 2020 Denver Broncos. Now you got Nick Ferguson shaking his head, Shield. So, you know, you hit a nerve. You struck a nerve, my friend.
I love it. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care, Shield. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, guys.
There we have him on our Fireball VIP line. Nick, what are you shaking your head for, man?
Listen, man, I love this, Cecil. This is, look, if I was sitting home, this is what I would love to hear, because, I mean, you get the perspective of football broken down to you in ways that, you know, most people don't do. And, you know, numbers are not everything, but they do tell the story, especially if you can tie the numbers to the film, right? And being as though, once again, I was a player and I watched a lot of film, and in my coaching experience, this is something I had to do on a daily basis, break things down from numbers to scheme so the players can actually understand it. And this is the way that I learned the game of football. This is how I understood it in this way. So it was nerdy then. I was nerdy 5 years ago. I was nerdy 20 years ago, and I'm still a nerd, and I love it. I love it.
$5, Buster.
That's right.
We look at this. The one thing that had you shaking your head more than anything, man versus zone for Drew Lock. Is this the way to figure him out? Nick will tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one, offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.